Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamah, daf Lamed. We are back on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. So today what we'd like to do is we would like to finish, obviously, finish Chaf Ches, and hopefully today do the entirety of Chaf Tes, and put us into a striking position where tomorrow we can really make our way back to where we should be. And so let us immediately get into it. We're on the Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud. The learning we'll do this morning will be on the Zeichen Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman, and thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the DAF. Take a look right in the middle of the words Tanan. Okay, yesterday, very fascinating machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan regarding a woman who at the point of Nefila, at the point of candidacy for Yibum, she was ineligible. If her ineligibility is a din d'oraisa, if she's, let's say, achos isha, for example, and she's ineligible right from the beginning of her of the nefilah, where her husband dies, so then there's no discussion, there's no question. Even if the cause of ineligibility is no longer there, but she's once disqualified, always disqualified, kind of like dichui etzel mitzvah. So the Gemara doesn't use that terminology, but it's similar to that idea. What if she was eligible, ineligible, and eligible? So that Rav and Rav Yochanan agree. Then in such a scenario, if that she originally at the point of the field was eligible, and then she becomes ineligible, and then she becomes eligible once again, so they both agree that, then at the point of her eligibility, her second go-around of eligibility, she would be totally acceptable to do the mitzvah of Yibum with. What the point of disagreement between Rav and Rav Yochanan was in a scenario where at the get-go she was ineligible, but the ineligibility was the psul de Rabbanan. Under such circumstances, can a woman, if and when she does become eligible, can she then become a candidate for Yibum? That was the machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav was Mekel and Rav Yochanan was Machmer. Okay, that was the outline of the Gemara that we saw yesterday. And the Gemara noted that our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the third parak of Yevamos, seems to propose a kasha against both. Because our Mishnah describes a scenario in which, ostensibly, you have a woman who was eligible, then becomes ineligible, and then becomes eligible once again. Right? The Mishnah's construct was 4 and 2. Again, let's review. The Mishnah said that we had four brothers. Two of the four brothers were married to two sisters. Those two brothers died. Now the two sisters present themselves to the two surviving brothers. So we have a classic scenario of two Yevamim and two Yevamos, and the two Yevamos also happen to be sisters. What do you do in such a scenario? So the Mishnah said, both of the brothers are going to be doing chalitza to the women. To which now the Gemara wonders, well, why should that be? Meaning the only thing that's preventing either one of the sisters as a mitzvah of Yibum is achos zekuka. That's the only thing that's preventing them. And, as we noted yesterday, let's assume that the brothers died not at the same moment, but sequentially. So that means then that at the candidacy of the first of the sisters, she was perfectly muteris to either one of the brothers. And then it's only the death of the second brother, now the first sister becomes prohibited because of achos zekukaso. So we have a classic scenario over here of where she was once eligible, then becomes ineligible, and then if the other brother were to do I was going to say Yibum, but that's not an option. If the other brother was to do Chalitza, so that removes the Zika, and now the sister once again becomes eligible. So we have a scenario of eligible, ineligible, then eligible. And the Mishnah says that both brothers have to do Chalitza, and the Mishnah says that neither brother can do Yibum. And how is Rav Yochanan going to respond to our Mishnah? And the answer was, a radical answer of the Gemara that we saw yesterday, was that Rav Yochanan is going to dismiss the Mishnah. That's it, Rav Yochanan. Right, the question that he asked is Mishanan, who taught the Mishnah, the third Mishnah? I'm sorry, the first Mishnah, the third parak of Yevamos. Rav Yochanan doesn't accept the Mishnah. Okay, it was a radical answer, but the Gemara says, but it doesn't fit into his shita. And by the way, it's not only his shita, it's Rav's shita as well. That when you start off as eligible and then you end up ineligible and then you become eligible again, so you are actually a legitimate candidate for the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, Tanan. We're picking it up right where we left off yesterday. We're on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots. Haisa achas mehem asura al achas yisr erva asur ba muta ba achos av asheni asur b'shtehem. With the Mishnah over here, this is a continuation of the Mishnah where the Mishnah here describes where, again, it's the same construct, 4 and 2. Two brothers are married to two sisters. The two brothers died. And now we're going to add another variable, and that is one of the sisters is an erva to one of the surviving brothers. which, as we pointed out, is in this particular scenario, great. I say great, I mean, what we mean by great is now there's a possibility to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Because this woman is an heir to one of the surviving brothers, so that means now that there's no Zika, so that means that the other sister is not Achazukukaso, and so therefore the other brother could do the mitzvah of Yibum to the one sister. So the Gemara says, now that's the Mishnah. Now, Salka Dadcha Denafla Chamos Tchila Vam Tchila. So the Gemara says, well, at this point, which one became a candidate first for the mitzvah of Yibum? The Mishnah doesn't say, but the Gemara says it's very easy to argue that the mother-in-law became a candidate first. Now, first of all, mother-in-law, who says we're talking about mother-in-law? So as Rashi points out over here, we could be talking about any one of the arayos. Remember, we are enabled, you go back to the beginning of the Masechta, go back to Daf Tes, we can plug in any one of the arayos into the scenario, where of the two sisters, one of them is going to be an heir to one of the surviving brothers, and if that isn't by itself complicated enough, you remember Rashi back on Daf Tes, Rashi says, I could do this with any one of the 15 of the arayos mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Mother-in-law, Rashi over here says, why mention mother-in-law? Because it's the easiest to fathom. It's amazing. It's the easiest one to fathom, where one of the sisters is a mother-in-law to one of the brothers. In other words, in a previous lifetime, she was once married to one of the brothers' fathers. Okay, Anyway, let's get the basic point. So sakadach amina denafla chamoso tchila. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that his mother-in-law was a candidate first. V'amai leku chasan liabe hachte eno chamoso bereisha. So the Gemara says, so that means then that her son-in-law should be able to do what? Should be able to be miyabim the other one. And now, let's take a look at the other sister, the original sister, who we identified as a mother-in-law. So now, what is she? She was at the point of candidacy, Muteris, then became Achazukukasa when the other sister died, then when the other... No, I'm sorry. When the other brother died, then becomes Muteris again once Yibum is done by the other brother. So now you have a case of Heter, Isser Heter, and Tachzor Leter Rishon. And again, we're turning to Rav Yochanan, and by the way, Rav, and we're looking at them and we're saying, I understand, shouldn't there be an opportunity for both brothers, not just one, for both brothers to do the mitzvah of Yibum if this is the sequence in which it occurs? So Amar Rabbi Papa Kagon, Amar Rav Papa Kagon, Danaf Lahakhtenu Chamosa Beresha. So the Gemara says, you're right, you're absolutely right. If the sequence of deaths was first the sister who was the mother-in-law of one of the brothers, if she was presented first, which makes then her totally ineligible to one of the brothers because she's his mother-in-law, and then the other sister presents herself, so en achinami, that would be absolutely right. In such a sequence of events, you'd be absolutely right that it would be heter, Isser and Heter, and in such a circumstance, both brothers would be able to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. And the Mishnah speaking specifically about in a scenario where the sequence was the opposite. The non-Erva sister becomes the widow first, then the Erva sister becomes the widow second, so at the point of Nefila, she becomes Isser at that point in time, so it's not Heter, Isser, Heter, it presents itself, she presents herself as an Isser from the point of Nefila, from the point of candidacy, and then going forward, she's always going to be awesome. Okay, good. We go back now to the Mishnah, and we are finished with our analysis of this discussion of Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, of Heter Eser Heter. And now we go back to the Mishnah. We're just going to look at the end of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say in conclusion? That Rabbi Eliezer Omer, going back to the Mishnah, the second line of the Mishnah, the last word on the line, Bechami Omer, Mikayim, Beisolomim Yotziu. What happens if the two surviving brothers married these two sisters? Okay, again, you shouldn't. And the reason why you shouldn't is because of Achazukut Kaso. And what if they did? So Rabbi Eliezer says that according to Beis Shammai, you're Mekayim, meaning, yes, they violated an Isser in order to create that marriage, but once they're married, and the only violation they violated was Achazukut Kaso, so Beis Shammai says, leave it. Leave the marriages there. And Beis Hillel says, no, Yotzi'u. The marriages are to be to be terminated. To which now the Gemara brings in a Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Beis Shammai, Omer, Mikaimu, Beis Hillel, Omer, Yotzi'u. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, Beis Shammai says the marriages are Mekuyam. Beis Hillel says you have to sever the marriages. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yikaimu, and Rabbi Shimon says the marriages are Mekuyam. Abba Shal Omer, Kal Hayalahem, Beis Hillel, Bedavazesh, Beis Shammai, Omer, Yotzi'u, Beis Hillel, Omer, Yikaimu. And Abishal has a reversed positions, where, according to Beis Hillel, the marriages are to be sustained, and Beis Shammai says, no, you're sealed. Fine, Rabbi Shimon, come on. And the Gemara is just simply bothered, meaning Rabbi Lazar and Abishal clearly are representing two differing opinions, obviously. But what bothers the Gemara is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, come on, Ikebe Shammai, Hainu Rabbi Lazar, and Ikebe Sila, Hainu Abishal. And the Gemara says that what the point of departure from Rabbi Shimon and the other two Tanayim is that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no machlokas, meaning his Mesorah, his tradition, is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not argue on this point, on this matter. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is yikaimu, meaning the marriages are sustained, period. And it's not even subject to a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So obviously, it's hard to explain all this from an analysis standpoint, from a lumdus perspective, meaning that what we have over here are later Tanayim who have some transmission, and it sounds like there's a breakdown in the transmission in terms of what Beis Shammai's position was and what Beis Hillel's position was, or whether or not they argued Bechlal. Okay. Continuing the Gemara on Chav Ches Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. Haisa Achas Me'em Atanina Chadazimna. Achosek Shiyevinto Choletzel Sumasya Bemis. The Gemara is bothered by the repetitive nature of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah laid out a scenario in which, of the two surviving brothers, one is an erva to one sister, one is an erva to the other sister, which then allows each one of them to do yibum to the non-erva sister. Good. And to that, the Gemara's response is, we've done that already. Meaning, in the second parak of the Masechta, we've actually made that very point, that if the Mishnah in the second parak was not talking about a construct of 4 and 2, the Mishnah in the second parak was talking about a construct of 3 and 2. But still, the basic idea is the same, that of the two brothers who died who were married to two sisters, if one of those sisters to the one surviving brother is an erva, that affords him the opportunity to do yibum to the other sister. So all the Gemara now is bothered by is, we got it. We got this case down. We know what the halacha would be. So the Gemara says, Achosik shi evento chalesus amasya bemes tricha. So the Gemara says, no, both cases are necessary. Because e ashmin and hasa mishim dalek ala megzer mishim sheni. Ava hacha deik ala megzer mishim sheni im alo. So the Gemara says, no, because in our Mishnah over here, it could be, you could have argued that it becomes further complicated by the fact that there is a second brother. And I might have thought the havamina would have been that if you allow one brother to marry, well, then the other brother's going to think, well, if he's married, so then I should be able to marry as well. Okay. And again, if both have an erva relationship to one of the sisters, that would be fine. But if only one of them do, so then only one of them would be able to marry. And the Gemara points out, and if all I had was this Mishnah over here, well, in this Mishnah over here, if one of the sisters was an erva to one of the brothers, that's clear. Why? Because of one of the surviving brothers, he'll marry the other sister, and the other brother will have to do chalitza. So it's clear over here, but in the case over there, meaning in the second parable where we're discussing 3 and 2, where there was only one surviving brother, it may not have been that clear, considering that there was no foil. There was no other brother who was doing chalitza. So I might have thought that the Chachamim in general would have just simply said chalitza. Okay, Isser Mitzvah. Again, we go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah here illustrates a scenario in which, of the, again, construct is 4 and 2, two brothers are married to two sisters, those two brothers die, and of those two sisters, one of them is prohibited to one of the brothers, but only through an Isser Derabbanan, what we call Shnios. Right? Remember 6 days ago in the Daf, Chaf Aleph, we discussed the idea of, more than that now, but a week ago. So we discussed the idea of Shnios, of the secondary arayos that were added on by the Chachamim. So if one of the sisters is related to one of the brothers through a shnir relationship. So what did the Mishnah say? That does not break the Zika. The Zika is still there. And because the Zika is still there, so both of them are now still achot zekukaso, and you can't marry either one of them. Good. So the Gemara says, Anami Tanina. But again, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that been here, done that. Meaning we've already established this point back in the second parak. So what are we doing over here in the third parak, basically going over the same information? To which the Gemara says, it's a mitzvah, it's a kedusha, cholesu v'lo mesiyah bemes. First, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah that we saw earlier, that if the nature of the relationship is either mitzvah or kedusha, remember, mitzvah is a shnia, and kedusha is a lav, or maybe the opposite. Right? You remember the Gemara back then? The Gemara entertained both ideas. But in both cases, cholesu v'lo mesiyah bemes. Again, the point is that it doesn't break the Zika, and if there are two sisters who are being presented, and even though one of the sisters is an Isser, Durabanan, or Lav, the Zika is still intact, and therefore it's Achazu Kukaso, and therefore both brothers, I'm sorry, in the second parak, that one surviving brother is going to have to do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Hasa Mitzvah Mitzvah Lechuda, Hasa Mitzvah Mitzvah Lechuda. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you can make the following argument, and that is, look, in the second parak, the only thing we said is that if it's just an Isser Mitzvah, or if it's just Isser Kedusha, the Zika is still there. But Hacha, Isser Mitzvah, Ve'achosa. But over here, it's compounded by the fact that not only is one of the sisters an Isser Mitzvah, but also, she's on top of that also, Achosa. She's a sister. So, Sakadar Chamina, Lekim Isser Mitzvah, B'makom Isser Erva, V'tisya Ben. So the Gemara says over here, maybe what you can argue is as follows. I know that an Isser Mitzvah by itself doesn't break the Zika. But can't we stack one on top of another? Meaning over here, can't we make the argument that, look, generally speaking, if the woman who is the candidate for Yibum is an Isser Mitzvah, which means that's rabbinically prohibited, but the Zika is still there. Over here, not only is there an Isser Mitzvah, but compounded by the fact that there are two sisters right now currently being presented. So she is A, an Isser Mitzvah, and B, Achazeku Kaso. And what the Gemara now would like to suggest is, let's take the two, stack them on top of another, and maybe through the combination, this is hard math to figure out, but maybe through the combination, that'll create a total patur from the Mitzvah of Yibum, allowing you to be beyond the other sister. That's the Havamina. That's what I might have thought. So Sakdar Chamina, like a Mr. Mitzvah, Ben Makam, Mr. Erva, Vitis Yabem, Kamash Malan, Vitis Yabem, the Gemara says, I understand, let's do Yibam, Kevin de Medaraisa, Ramya Kame, Kapaga Bachuzu Kukaso. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why not. Because you can't ignore the fact that there's a Zika coming from both sisters. So that means then that if you do Yibam to either one of the sisters, even to the non Shnia sister, ultimately, when all said and done, you're looking at Achot Zekukasa, which is the Nisra de Rabbanan. Mitzvah Avod Rabbanan Kamash Malan. And again, maybe what the Chachamim would have done is they would have allowed it because the other sister is also an Isra de Rabbanan. And again, the Havamina is the Isra de Rabbanan coupled with Achot Zekukasa would create a release from the Mitzvah of Yibam, allowing you to marry the sister. That's the Havamina. Kamash Malan. Haisa Achas Mehem. Hasu Lamali. Hainoach. Mali lechad, mali letrei. Okay, and now again, the Gemara is just filtering through the Mishnah, just trying to understand what more is to be gained by these later cases of the Mishnah. We're looking now at the case of the Mishnah where, of the two surviving brothers, one of them is an erva to one, but the other one is not an erva to either. Hasulam alei hanoach, mali lechad, mali letrei. What difference does it make whether it's one to two? You see, in the second case, where both have an erva relationship to one of the sisters, so in that case, there's no foil. Meaning, I don't see clearly that the achazukuka relationship was lifted, and one might have thought that in general, any time you have sisters presented to two brothers, that's okay. Not totally sensitive to the fact that the reason why it's okay is because one has an erva relationship to one and the other has an erva relationship to the other. But and the Gemara says, and you can argue the other way. In the case where they're both have an erva relationship, so basically, it's a double erva relationship, meaning one surviving brother has an erva relationship to one of the sisters, meaning he'll marry the other. Same with the other brother. So in such a situation, it'll become clear then that the only reason why the Yibam is sanctioned is because they're the double erva. If it's only a single erva, it may not be as clear. Okay. Zoe Sha'amru. And finally, the Gemara says, Zoe Sha'amru, this is a case where we say that if I have two sisters and one is an erva to one, the other is an erva to the other, so Yibam can be done. Zoe Lamote, my Lamote is a mitzvah, Lazeb is a mitzvah, Lazeb. So the Gemara says, and obviously the Mishnah using the terminology of zoo is trying to be exclusionary. What's the exclusionary point? Let's say the nature of the relationship of the sisters to the brothers is not nisa erva, but it's only an isra mitzvah. So the Gemara says, in such a situation, obviously the isra mitzvah will not lift the zika. And that means that both sisters are still achor zekukaso, and that means they can only do chalitza, not yibum. Both of the brothers can only do chalitza. Hasul amali, and the Gemara wants to know, once again, what's gained from that? I know hach, mali lecha, mali l'trei. Mao de temaki lo amin anuki yes mitzvah ba makom iser va hechadik al migzar mishum sheni ava hechadalek al migzar mishum sheni im ala hayu kimna is the mitzvah ba makom iser va ula hayu kimna is the mitzvah ba makom iser va ula yavme kamash malan. The Gemara says, again, it's a havamina that we saw earlier, but over here the Gemara revisits the havamina of, well, again, we're gonna stack one on top of another. An iser mitzvah by itself doesn't break a zika. Acha zikuka by itself doesn't break the zika. But maybe if I stack both of them on, and in this particular case, we said this before, but in this particular case, not only am I going to stack one on top of another, but I'll do it for both brothers. So maybe it's a, right, there's so many arguments to make to break the zika. Acha zikuka plus an iser mitzvah, plus the other brother is also, we're going to say it's the same thing for the other brother. So again, all this is a havamina, a way of suggesting that we're going to break the zika, kamash malan. And again, the point is, zika is not broken, and still, both brothers can only do chalitza, not yibum. Okay. I'll breathe for a moment. Great. Okay, so essentially, can we just summarize what happened in the last 20 lines of Gemara? Approximately. And that is that the Gemara just entertained a number of possibilities in terms of why the Mishnah is making points which seemingly at this juncture of the Masechta are repetitive in nature from what we saw in the second paragraph of the Masechta, to which the Gemara answers, Havaminas, meaning I would have had consideration, some thoughts in terms of why it's different in this case, why the Zika is going to be lifted, but when all said and done, unless it's an erva relationship between one of the brothers and one of the sisters, the Zika is not lifted, and because of the Zika is not lifted, so therefore it's Achaz Zukukasa. Okay, that's a summary statement of the last 20 lines of the Gemara. Okay, let's review what we saw already 20 short days ago in the Daf. And that was that the Gemara back on Daf Tes took a look at our mission that we're learning right now, the case where there are two surviving brothers looking at two sisters for the possibility of doing Yibam, but because each one of them is Achazu Kukaso, so therefore they can't do it, they have to do Chalitza. But if one is an Erva to one, and one is an Erva to the other, so then you can have a scenario in which now there's only one, for each one of the brothers, there's only one sister available, the other one has no Zika because of the Erva relationship to the other one, and there you can have a scenario in which one brother could do Yibam to one sister, and the other brother can do the other Zika to the other, I'm sorry, Yibam to the other sister. Good. And the Gemara back on Daf Tes says, not only that, but we can construct scenarios in which any one of the 15 arayos mentioned on Daf Beis Amud Aleph can be plugged into this construct. So that means that one of the sisters is a daughter to one of the brothers, but not to the other. And one of the sisters is a mother-in-law to one of the brothers and not the other. And we could do that for all 15. And the Gemara is going to review. We've done this Gemara. This Gemara was said earlier, but we're going to review it now again, and we will do so quickly. Although we don't have to do it quickly, we could spend a lot of time on this, but I will do so quickly in the interest of trying to catch up. So, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Chentani Rabbi Chaya B'Kol Ani Kor Behem Asul Azem Utel Zeh VaChosik Yishivimto Cholatzus Omesia Bemes. So we have a Brisa Rabbi Chaya, and Rabbi Chaya says I can plug them all in. And now to which the Gemara is going to do is give not one, not two, but three different opinions amongst the Amoraim. When Rabbi Chiya says, I could do all of them, does he mean all of them? Now, it's funny, because when you look back at the Braisa, he says, Bechulan, which usually gives an indication of all of them. Okay, but we'll see for reasons we'll explain in just a moment, not necessarily all of them. Rav Yehuda Matargim Mechamos Ve'elech, Aval Shisa Baba Dereisha Lo. So Rav Yehuda says, no, not all of them. It's only going to start from number 7 and 9. Okay, so 7 to 15, which is really not that bad. 7 to 15 does represent the majority. And like we said the other day in the Daf, in other words, when you're talking majority, you can use language of all, even though it's only the majority. Remember, it was yesterday or 2 days ago, right? 2 out of 3. Right, one of the brothers was doing 2 out of 3 chalitzas. What did the Gemara say? That's all. Okay, it's not all, but... So here, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Scratch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. One is... Yes, I'm looking back. I don't remember all this by heart. All right, bito, bas beno, bas ishto, bas bena, bas bito. Okay? Daughter. Your daughter, your granddaughter, your wife's daughter, your wife's granddaughter, and your wife's granddaughter. Okay, and I say granddaughter twice, I mean one through the son and one through the daughter. Okay, they are not part of this. And the reason why is because my time came to beat by onsen who the mishkachla ben nisun la mishkachla ben nisun kamari ben onsen lo kamari. And Rav Yehuda explains, because the only way we can get the cases of daughter is only if the daughters are born out of wedlock. Meaning if it is done in wedlock, we simply cannot construct a scenario where the daughters are going to be born in wedlock and be only a daughter to one of the brothers and not a daughter to the other brother. Be exclusively an erva to one and not the other. Okay, see the charts for a visual of this, but basically, look at Rashi over here. It cannot work out through Nisun, it can only work out through Onsen. And what offends Rav Yehuda is the idea that Rabbi Chiya and Abraisa is going to be advocating a scenario in which children are going to be born out of wedlock. Okay, just can't be. So therefore, only take it from cases 7 through 15. V'abai mitargim af bito mi'anu sasu kevin d'shkuchim ishkach Allah ibai b'onset tehavi ibai b'nesu'in tehavi aval eshetach shalai yabo olamo lo kevin da libet d'rabbi shimna nidim ishkach Allah libet d'rabban lo mishkach Allah b'pluk lo kamari. Abai says no. It will also include cases 1 through 6 as well. Meaning, Arayos 1 through 6 of the first Mishnah is also included in the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya. When Rabbi Chiya says that I could take the 4 and 2 construct and the two sisters and one is an heir to one of the surviving brothers and one is another, it includes the first 6 as well. The only way you can construct a case for the first 6 is only through Onsen. So to which Abai says, okay, I understand that. But still, that's included as well. And the only thing that's going to be excluded from this is going to be the case of Eishes Achir Shalai Yabba Olamo, case number 14. Case number 14 cannot be included because it will only work out according to Rabbi Shimon, not according to the Chachamim. And we are, right, we made this point earlier in the Masechta, the first Mishnah is a non-controversial Mishnah. And so therefore, it's hard to imagine that we have a case that is only going to work for Rabbi Shimon and not work for the Chacham. Okay, remember we had a machlokes Rabbi Shimon the Chacham, and this takes us back to the second parak, the first mishnah of the second parak of the Masechta, in terms of where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham. Right, and the issue is when exactly was the second brother born? It could be the second brother. But when exactly was that, where the other brother was born? Was it born after Shimon picks up the wife for Yibam? Or is it before Shimon picks it up? Is it Mace Nolad V'Yavam? Or it's Mace Yavam V'Nolad? Okay, if you understand what I'm saying, great. And if not, go back to the beginning of the second parak. And Rav Safra Mitargim Av Eishes Achiv Shalo Haya Ba'olamo Mishkach Allah B'Shitza Achiv Ali B'Rabbi Shimon. And Rav Safra says that this Braisa Rabbi Chiya that says that you can plug in any one of the 15 Arayos into this case of 4 and 2, where one of the widows is going to be any one of the Ervas to one of the brothers, and the other widow is going to be any one of the Ervas to the other brother, is going to be talking about all 15 cases, including the first 6, like Abaye says, and including Eisha Tzachar Shalom Yabolamo, granted, it will be a much more complex scenario in which they're going to have to be, we're going to have to include six brothers, and granted that it's only going to work according to Rabbi Shimon. V'simancha, and just to help you, a little mnemonic, to help us all remember what exactly the case is, Meisna Leviyaba, Meisna Leviyaba. And if you remember the Gemara, all the way, going back all the way to Daf Test, that's where the Gemara stopped. Our Gemara goes a little bit further. And our Gemara actually spells out the scenario. Okay, now again, we could spend the rest of today going over this scenario. It is complicated. As it, what is all it's trying to do, like I'm making it like it's no big deal, all it's trying to do is come up with a scenario in which you can have one sister be Eisha Tzachar Shalom Yabolamo to one of the brothers, and the other sister is Eisha Tzachar Shalom Yabolamo to the other brother. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a constructed case where this could be. So we are, and I'm going to do this quickly, even at the expense of not totally understanding it as I present it. But what we're doing, however, is we're conflating the first Mishnah and our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the third paragraph. So, Reuben v'Shimon nesun shtei achayos, Levi v'Yehuda nesun shtei nechrios. So we have Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters. And Levi and Yehuda are married to two non-sisters. Meis Reuben nolad Yisachar. Reuben dies and Yisachar is born. V'yabam Levi. And Levi does the mitzvah of Yibam. So now, to...
He did it before or after he was born?
He did it after. Okay. Meis Shimon nolad Zvulun. And Shimon dies and Zvulun is born. V'yabam Yehuda, and Yehuda now marries her. Meisu Levi v'Yehuda b'lo bana. And so now, good. So now we set ourselves up. So now we have two new brothers introduced into this world, and the two new brothers that are introduced to this world are to one of the sisters, Eisha Tzachar Shalom Yabolamo, to one and not the other. And now... Meso Levi Yehuda. Now Levi and Yehuda died. Remember, Levi and Yehuda are the ones who are married to the two sisters. So now we have it. We have the scenario in which we had four brothers. I understand that ultimately in the sum total we have six brothers. But again, two of them died just to create the scenario of four and two. So now we have four brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters. Of those two sisters, the two brothers die. Now let's go back to the Gemara. Meisa Levi Yehuda below Banim. V'naflu Kame Yisachar v'Zvulon. And now they fall to Yisachar and Zvulon. V'asur lazem mutar lazeh. V'asur lazem mutar lazeh. V'achostish yivimto. I'm sorry. Mutar lazeh. Period. So now we have it. That is the case where I can have the two surviving brothers being an erva, specifically Eisha Tzachar Shalom Yabolamo, to one of the sisters. But of course, it's only going to work out according to Rabbi Shimon and not according to the Chachamim.
Why did they have to say that Levi and Yehuda were married? Maybe they were single.
Right. What did that do? Oh, the right. That, in other words, because then the other brothers picked them up for Yibam, and we I'll tell you what, come to me after, and I'll show you in the chart, and why it is we need them, but they're necessary. Okay, what tells us? V'achosah sheyivimto lamali, Yabam Yehuda below Yabam Yehuda nami mishkachala mishum tzara. I'm sorry, mishum tzara. The Gemara asked that question. I'm sorry. The Gemara asked that question, so the Gemara says, why do I need it? Because we want a co-wife. Oh, that's it. That's the answer to your question. Sorry. Okay, we want a co-wife. And why do we want a co-wife? Because, again, what we're doing is we're conflating two Mishnayos. We're conflating the first Mishnah of the first Perek together with the first Mishnah of the third Perek. But remember, in the first Perek of the first Mishnah, we had co-wives. We need co-wives. Because the Mishnah's, the first Mishnah's point is, not only is the erva going to be exempt, but the co-wife of the erva is also going to be exempt. So, Hatenach, Sarah, 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 Michael, Amemar, the Gemara says, okay, as long as you're in the business of conflating, so why not also talk about Sarah, Sarah? Meaning, because remember, that was the point of the first Mishnah. Not only is the co-wife of an erva going to be potter, but the co-wife of a co-wife. Kigon da'ada v'yaminu nami gad v'asher. So the Gemara says, you want co-wife of a co-wife? Fine. Get two more brothers into the discussion, and then the two additional brothers will pick up the co-wife of Eshet Achiv Shalal Yabolamo. So again, the co-wife of Eshet Achiv Shalal Yabolamo is Sarah Serva. So if they do the mitzvah of Yibum, pick them up together with an additional wife that they have, and then they die, so then you'll have Sarah Serva, co-wife of a co-wife. Okay. Wow. Good. And we are obviously within the harder part of the Masechta. We are starting now in the next Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on Chav Ches Amud Beis towards the bottom. The Amud Shlosha Achin Shtei Mehem Nesum Shtei Achayos O Isha O Bita O Isha Bas Bita O Isha U Bas Bena Hare Elu Chotzos V'lo Mizyabos. Okay, the Mishnah tells us again at this point in time. I know heads could be spinning a little bit, but at this point in time, these cases are pretty intuitive in terms of the construct scenario is essentially the same. Right. We have three brothers. Of the three brothers, two of them are married to either sisters or mother-daughter or mother-granddaughter and perfectly legitimate. In other words, they are two separate brothers who are marrying these women. But now the problem, of course, is that they both die and both of their widows now are being presented to the third brother. So now the third brother can't do the mitzvah of Yibum because of Achud Zekukasto. Fine. So far, so good. They have to do Chalitza. Good. Again, all this we've gone over. Rabbi Shimon Poter Haisa. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon Poter. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, there is no Zika whatsoever. There's no need for neither Yibum nor Chalitza. Now, Rabbi Shimon over here shouldn't come as a shock because, quite frankly, we've gone over the opinion of Rabbi Shimon earlier in the Masechta. Okay, but this is the Mishnah. Meaning, this is the Mishnah that actually spells out Rabbi Shimon's opinion. If one of them is an Isereva, so that means that can't marry her, but allowed to marry the sister. Iser mitzvah, Iser kedushin, chaloshes v'lo mizyabemes. If one of them is an Iser mitzvah and Iser kedusha, as we've said already a number of times, that doesn't break the Zika is still there, so then you do chalitza, but you don't do yibum. Okay. Tanya, the first thing the Gemara is going to establish is, where did Rabbi Shimon get this idea from? Meaning you have two women who are presenting themselves for Yibum. They happen to be sisters, but they're coming from two different husbands. So ostensibly, there should be a Zika. Again, you can't do Yibum because it's Achuz Zekukasa. That we get. But there should be a Zika, and there should be a Chalitza requirement. Or, to put it in other terms, Tanakam is right. Where does Rabbi Shimon get this idea that in such a scenario, there's nothing. There's no Chalitza, there's no Yibum. Where did that come from? So the answer is, it comes from a drasha. Shenamar, sorry. Rabbi Shimon poter b'shteim min achlitza min yibum shenamar. V'isha l'achosa lo sikach litzor. A woman and her sister you cannot take as co-wives. What does that mean? B'sha shenasu tsaru zu lazu lo yehe l'cha likuchin afil ba'achas mehem. In an event, it's an unusual event, but in an event where they turn into potential co-wives, i.e., your brothers were married to the two sisters, your brothers die, now that leaves you looking at both of these women, that creates an automatic release from the mitzvah of Yibum. Ein lecha, I'm sorry, lo ye lecha likuchin. There's no marriage, meaning there's no Zika, there's no requirement whatsoever to marry them, and more than that, there's no Zika. It's a total release. Bachas, man. Tosus over here points out, interesting. Tosus points out over here, this drasha is really limited. Meaning, first of all, think about the scope of this drasha, according to Rabbi Shimon. It only comes out in a scenario where I have two brothers married to two sisters, and they both die. And then the one surviving brother is looking at them. Tosus says it's even more limited than that. Tosus says it's only limited to a scenario in which there's only one surviving brother. What if there are two surviving brothers? So then even Rabbi Shimon will tell you that there's going to be a Zika. So it's really a limited drasha within the scope of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now, when the Mishnah says, if one of them is an Isser Mitzvah or an Isser Kedusha, so you do Chalitza not Yibum. To which the Gemara says, let me back it up one. Okay, not yet. You're right, the first point. If one of them is an Isser Erva, so she obviously has no Zika, and therefore allowing the other one to do the mitzvah of Yibum. At this juncture of the Gemara, it's very fair to ask, this is a point that we've gone over now, just today alone, a couple of times. And we've gone over it early in the Masechta. So the Gemara said, bothered by this very question. The Gemara says, no, it's necessary because so the Gemara says, look, according to Rabbi Shimon, anytime you have two sisters presenting themselves as Yibam and Chalitza, not anytime, but most anytime that you have two sisters presenting themselves as Yibam and Chalitza, so Rabbi Shimon says, lifted, meaning the mitzvah of Yibam is lifted. Now, if the mitzvah of Yibam is lifted, so there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, it's Eishes Achiv. So I might have thought that according to Rabbi Shimon, you should always invoke a gzera. That in any event that you have two sisters being presented, should never do Yibam, even if Yibam is legitimate. Why would Yibam be legitimate? When one of them is an erva. I might have thought that according to Rabbi Shimon, this would be a perfect opportunity for a gzera. Kamash Malan, there's no gzera. Isra mitzvah. Top now of Chavtes Amar Aleph, Vaham, Rabbi Shimon Shtei Achayos, Lochosos V'lo Mizyabmos. Rabbi Shimon says that the two sisters, you don't do Chalitza, you don't do Yibam, Gzera Mishum, Isra Mitzvah, Da'ama. So the Gemara says, Gzera, it's a decree, because of Isra Mitzvah in general. Hatei Nechiyah, Chosam Ha'ikala Me'emar. So the Gemara says, okay, the one who's an Isra Mitzvah herself, meaning she's a Shniyah, she's a secondary Erva. So I understand, make a Gzera for her, but also for the co-wife as well, not the co-wife, but the other sister. So the Gemara says, "Hatein achi achos amaykal amemar gzera achos amishum lasa dida." So the Gemara says, "Yes, yes, gzera for both of these sisters, even though the principal gzera is really done for the Isra mitzvah. But in other words, in order to give the gzera teeth, make a gzera for the Isra mitzvah and for the other sister as well." V'agabi erva lo gazrinan. So the Gemara says, "I don't understand." When one of the sisters was an erva, Rabbi Shimon didn't make a gzera. The Gemara made that point just 3 or 4 lines ago. And now if one of them is in Issa Mitzvah, you're going to make a gzera? So the Gemara says, yes, that's correct. So the Gemara says, Shani erva, demig mar gemiri la in shivikala islay. If one of the sisters is an erva, so the Gemara says, there's no need to make a gzera. That is more popular information. People know that an erva between a potential brother and sister-in-law, a Yavam and a Yavama, an Erva totally removes the Zika. And that's not nuanced information. That's popular information that's known. There's no need to make such a gzera. But once you get to a more nuanced area of one of the sisters is a Shnia, now you have to know a lot. Shnias are Nisa de Rabbanan. What are the Shnios? Right, the Gemara in Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, very difficult. Good. So if one of them is just a Shnia, and it's a mitzvah, so then it's appropriate for the Chachamim to make a gzera, to block the mitzvah of Yibam, and only allow Chalitza to be done, and not only to the Shnia, but to her sister as well. Okay, Adkan. Okay, let's go on. Shlosha Achim. Okay, before we start this Mishnah now, we are going to switch gears just a little bit. Okay, we've been discussing now at length the idea where I have two sisters present themselves for the mitzvah of Yibam to one brother, to two brothers. What if one of them is an erva? What if both of them are an erva? Good. Now we're going to switch gears just a little bit, and now we're going to talk about this idea of Maimer. We've already been introduced to the idea of Maimer before, but now for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be talking about Maimer from the standpoint of Beit Shammai. It is going to be interesting. Now, obviously, we don't hold like Beit Shammai, but that for the sake of learning Torah, that does not matter. Beit Shammai is a shita. We're going to explore today, for the rest of today, the opinion of Beit Shammai. What did Beit Shammai say? Beit Shammai says that Maimer is Kona. Remember, what is Maimer? First of all, let's remind ourselves. Maimer is the idea that in the setting of Yibam, so you have a dead brother, you have the surviving brother, who's going to do the mitzvah of Yibam. What is the mitzvah of Yibam? It's Bia. He's going to have relations with his sister-in-law. And that affects the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. What the Chachamim wanted to do is the Chachamim wanted to throw in a little more process. And so what the Chachamim instituted is that before you go right to the Bia, so do something which looks like Kiddushin. Okay, and it's called Maimer. The institution is called Maimer. But it's really rabbinic legislation. At least that's conventional thinking. When I say conventional, I mean that's really what Beis Hillel, the way it's viewed. So when the Yavam does Maimer to his Yavama, that's not a kinyan, that doesn't change your status on a Torah level, it's a din d'rabbanan. Now it has a lot of rabbinic ramifications, of which we'll talk later on, But right now, we're going to look at Maimer from the viewpoint, from the lens of Beis Shammai. What does Beis Shammai say? Maimer is a kinyan. It actually acquires. Now, does that mean that it acquires on a d'oraisa level? Sounds that way. Although I will tell you that over the course of the rest of today's daf, Beis Shammai doesn't give a drasha. It's not, he doesn't quote a pasuk in the Torah. Even he acknowledges that the mitzvah itself is bia. So what's the source of Beis Shammai for this? I'll ask the question without knowing the answer. I don't know. But if from Beis Shammai's perspective, Maimer is a kinyan gamor. And even when I say the word gamor, I'm gonna equivocate just a little bit because I know the gemara that's coming up. So let's see the Mishnah inside. Shosha achim shnayim nesum shtei achas. I have three brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters. Bechad mufneh. And the third brother in this particular case is totally available. Meisachem mibalei achas. One of the brothers who was married to the sister died. V'asa ba mufneh mama. Now the single brother, what does he do to this woman? Maimer. So he does this rabbinic legislation of maimer to this woman. V'achar kach meis achiv. And now the second brother dies. When I say the second, I mean the other brother who was married to the other sister. So now what's being presented to this now one surviving brother is the following. Freeze frame the moment right now. He's looking at a woman that he has not done the mitzvah of Yibam with, so it's not his bona fide wife, but he did mimer to her. Now her sister is coming in for a Yibam consideration. But of course now the problem is complicated by the fact that I have now two sisters for Yibam. Now if we just had two sisters by themselves, so we go back to what we've been learning since the beginning of the parak, achas ukukaso, and there should be no mitzvah of Yibam. However, here's where it gets interesting. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ishto Imo, Beit Shammai says, he's married. He is? He only did Mimer to the first widow. So let's say it. Beit Shammai says that Mimer's a kinyan. So his wife is with him. Valuzu teitze mishamachos isha. And this other woman, she gets to go.
No
chalitza. Nothing. No yibum, no chalitza, nothing. Ubeithila omrim, motzi is ishto beget, uvechalitza, ve'eshes achiv bechalitza. And Beithila's conclusion is one which is very sad. And the Gemara notes how sad it is. Beithila says that we're putting in quotes, because he only did mimer to her. Moses isha beget of chalitza. He has to give her chalitza because he still has a zika with her. He has to give her a get because he did mimer with her. Okay. The get requirement is, of course, only on a derabbanan level, but okay. One of the ramifications of doing mimer is that on a rabbinic level you're married, so therefore the rabbinic level has to be terminated. The rabbinic marriage has to be terminated. So he's going to give her a get, plus he's also going to do chalitza because he's got to dissolve the zika. The eshet achiv bechalitza. And as far as the second wife now that was the second sister who was introduced as a Yavama, well, he too with her is going to have to do chalitza because achazeku kaso. He had a zika to both sisters. Zuisha amru, oilo al ishto, v'oilo al isha sachiv. And the Mishnah now just makes one comment, which is, that's really sad. It's sad now that because of the events that unfolded, look, it's halacha, we follow halacha, and sometimes it's going to be unpleasant, and the Mishnah says it.
But the thing is, according to Beit Hillel, the second sister is having Yevoma Shok, if you treat him...
That's why you have to do chalitza to her.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Zui lumut emai. So the Gemara says, now... The conclusion, right? Agreed. Right, correct. So I guess it's sad only because Mimer put her in a position where she was kind of like a wife.
What if he married her? But, what if he didn't do
Mimer? Okay, I mean, again, all the what ifs are good questions. But again, you know me, I'm gonna dodge all the what ifs right now, just simply because I don't know.
But is that sad that if he had done evil, he would have married her and he wouldn't?
Listen, degrees of sadness, I guess we could discuss, but. Just from a standpoint of...
Is that what they're talking about?
No, the Mishnah is talking about... the Mishnah is just discussing our particular case. Now, the Gemara immediately picks up on the idea of Zuhi, meaning, and You know the Gemara, meaning, right, this is clinical at its best. Meaning the Mishnah is making a comment about how sad it is. Okay, and we could reflect for just a moment about how sad it is. But the Gemara doesn't pick up on that. The Gemara wants to know, Zui Sha'amri, you know, this case is really sad. What the Mishnah is obviously alluding to another case, which is not. So that's what immediately what the Gemara wants to know. Zui Lamute, my Lamute, Hafter Rabbi Yeshua, the law of Dinah Kavaseela, Ikarab and Gamliel, Ikarab Elazar. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to discuss this later on in terms of the opinions of Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara doesn't even tell us what's going on. We'll come back to that, and then when we do come back to it, we'll point back to this Mishnah. All right, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay, here we go. Analysis of Beit Shammai. Again, let's think about what Beit Shammai is saying. What he's saying clearly is that if I have a scenario in which you have Mimer being done by the Yavam, that creates a kinyan to the extent where it blocks the other sister from even having a Zika. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Sorry, I just lost my place. I'll get back. Here we go. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Now, this is an Amara. Not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer. It's an Amara, Rabbi Elazar. Lo tema maimer lebeis shammai kona kinyan gamor. Don't say it the way I just said it. Meaning, the way I presented it was a simple way to say it. And what he's going to argue is it's not that simple. It's nuanced. It's not that just because a man did mimer to his yavama, it means they're fully married. And the only way to dismiss her is only through a get. That's not true. You know what mimer does? It's a blocker. Okay. What it does is it blocks the other sister from having a Zika. But it doesn't make this woman that he did mimer with his legally lawfully wedded wife. It makes her still a zakuka. She still has a Zika. He still has a mitzvah of Yibam to perform. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba Nafanami Tanina Beshamar Mimikaimu. Yikaimu in the Chatchilalo. So the Gemara says, okay, we learned in the Mishnah. Because you remember the first Mishnah of our Perek, Beit Shammai says, what if you do marry? Yikaimu. So that means lechatchila, yes, but not b'dievet. So the Gemara says, you know, here's what I'm bothered by. You know, if Mimer is a kinyan, so in the first Mishnah, why not do the following? Again, there are two surviving brothers in the first Mishnah. Have each one of them do Mimer. So to which, the answer is so intuitive, but let's just read the answer inside, and we'll have to stop over here. Yasa maimer v'yikna, v'zei yasa maimer v'yikna, ela mai doche d'chia gemura, zu yasa maimer v'yitcha, v'zu yasa maimer v'yitcha. Ela mai sach lamemer, maimer de'etere d'achi d'yisuri lo d'achi. Hachanami maimer afila mandamer maimer kona, kinyan gamer maimer de'etere kana d'yisuri lo kana. The Gemara says, no. In the first Mishnah, you can't make an argument of let both brothers do maimer. Because in the first Mishnah, the women, the sisters, are prohibited to the brothers. So that's what would be called Mimer Be'isser. That doesn't block. What we're talking about where Mimer was done, in our case over here, when the one sister was presented to her, Mimer Beheter. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. So such a Mimer would block. But don't look at the first Mishnah and say, well, why didn't you do Mimer? The answer is very simple. Because it was illegitimate. At the point of both sisters being presented to the two surviving brothers, it was achazukukaso, it was prohibited, so the mimer over there is mimer beser. So don't look at the first Mishnah as a way of demonstrating what mimer could or could not have done. Okay, let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll finish up the discussion of mimer according to Beit Shammai, and we'll pick it up from there.